Right, hello. Welcome your eyes and ears back to Repti Chat. Today is episode 6. Hope you guys and girls are all well. Thank you very much for all the support so far as well. You guys are absolutely smashing it, and let's keep it going. A few little bits today before we get into the chat with our guest. So, first off, I just want to, again, send a love and thoughts and prayers and all that jazz over to Brian Barczyk, the Barczyk family, and the guys at the Reptarium as well. The link is still in the bio if you wanted to, link is in the description if you still wanted to go and contribute towards the Legacy Aquarium build. I'm sure even if it's just a quid, every donation is much appreciated. Secondly, breeding wise going on here. Anything happening? No, absolutely nothing at all. Couldn't tell you what's going on, so we're just sitting and waiting, and hopefully we'll have some eggs at some point, but nobody, I don't know what's going on. And finally, the competition from the partners, because I don't want to call them sponsors because I'm not being paid at all. If you're watching at the moment, you can see it on the screen. So every episode of the Reptchat podcast, there is a chance to win a 12-month digital subscription, the Exotic Keepers Magazine Members Club. What that is online digital access to every single issue of the Exotic Keeper Magazine from issue 1 all the way through to every single current issue. All you need to do to enter is go into the comments below and leave a fact about an animal. It could be this really simple, like dogs have got 4 legs, cats have got 2 eyes, anything. Just drop a comment below, because I'm trying to give you guys some free stuff, and it seems like I'm struggling a little bit to give some free stuff away. But that's it. So yeah, if you want to enter, drop a comment below or keep an eye on my Instagram, and the winner of this week will be announced towards the end of the podcast. Okay. So yeah, that's just me waffling on, really. So let's move on. Today's guest, I'm sure if you are in the tarantula arachnid circle, you already know. She's got over 15,000 Instagram followers, a YouTube channel, and is part of a fantastic podcast as well that I've been enjoying recently. So without any further ado, let's get Fiona in. It's Fiona from The Spare Room. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. All good.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You're my first tarantula / invert guest, so I'm quite excited.
How fun. I am so glad to represent the invert community.
That's what we like to hear. Right, so I don't know if you've listened before or not, but to get started, I do a little section called Get to Know. Basically, it's just some quick fire questions. Some of them are animal related. Some of them have nothing to do with animals whatsoever. And it's just a nice little way to break the ice and sort of get a few little facts in there straight away. That's all right.
Okay.
So yeah. Just the first answer to come to your head. We'll smash them through and then we'll get into it properly.
Okay.
So, first exotic pet.
Was a curly hair tarantula.
Nice. Current number of pets, exotic pets, roughly.
Oh, God. 60 odd.
Nice. Favorite species you currently keep?
Gosh, okay. Snake is hognose. Tarantula, I can't pick.
Okay. Most unusual species that you keep?
I've got, oh gosh, I don't know. What's unusual in this room? It's so hard to pick. Everything is technically unusual.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I've got a huntsman. I've got some wandering spiders. They're quite unusual.
Yeah, I'd say that wandering spiders are quite unusual.
Yeah, let's see them then.
Yeah, and money, space, legalities, no issue. What would you keep that you don't currently keep or you can't keep legally?
I would keep a reticulated python if I had the space, money, and also the guns.
Strength, yeah. So, moving away from the animals quickly, this is a section that I'm calling this and that. Basically, it's really quick fire, so it's basically this or that. It's straightforward, you get it. So, beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Sun or snow?
Sun.
Vacation or staycation?
Staycation.
Night in or night out?
Night in.
Early bird, night owl, permanently night exhausted owl. Pigeon.
Oh, okay, yeah. Exhausted pigeon, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's, I think I've only had one guest so far that wasn't a permanently exhausted pigeon. And I can relate to that massively. So, yeah, that's the little get-to-know section. If nothing else, it's broken the ice a little bit, and some of the people listening may know you a little bit better than they thought they did.
Yeah.
So let's dive straight in. Tell me, when, how, what got you started with exotic keeping? Where did the whole keeping career, air quotes, because I don't know what else to call it, start?
I suppose it started properly in 2020 with keeping tarantulas. I didn't start keeping snakes until last year, but I've been into inverts all my life. It was actually a true spider rather than a tarantula that started my love of inverts. It was a woodlouse spider in the UK.
Okay.
And I was just so interested in them. And then the pandemic happened and just started doing research. Naturally, I thought, well, I'm an adult. I can do this.
It's dangerous being an adult because you've got adult money and you can just go and get what you want.
Exactly. So, yeah, I went into a local reptile store and they had a juvenile curly hair for sale. So I went and grabbed her.
Fantastic. I am still here. My camera's just having a moment.
I wondered whether I'd have to take over for a second then.
No, you're all right. I don't know what's going on. I'll sort it out whilst we're chatting. You say you started with a curly hair. So what made you go from going, oh, the woodlouse spider is pretty cool, to, oh, actually, I think I'd quite like to get my hands on one, so to speak.
So I actually kept a woodlouse spider under my bed as a child. I had like a makeshift little enclosure that I'd made from the garden because it's a UK spider.
Yeah.
And then learning about that, then it's not a far hop, skip and jump then onto tarantulas. And I've been interested in them my whole life. If we ever went to zoos or, you know, I knew someone that had one, I would just gravitate. Oh, anytime I go to a zoo, I'd just gravitate towards the bugs anyway. I don't know what it was really. It was just, I think I got to a point in my life where I had time and space for them. Not that tarantulas take up too much room. It's the snakes that take up all the room.
They do.
And I just decided that I think this is something that I really have the time, the passion for. And I just jumped in basically.
That's cool. So when you said you kept a woodlouse spider under your bed, I presume it was just a woodlouse spider that lived in your bedroom as opposed to keeping it in an enclosure?
No, it had a little. So I found it on the playground. It was in primary school, so I was younger than 11.
Yeah.
So, you know these, like, hang on. You know these, like, little jars that you can keep, like, things in?
Yeah, a bit like the plastic film cases, but a glass one.
Yeah. So I actually had it in one of them. So I caught it at school. I don't know why I had one of those little jars on me, but I did.
The kids always have stuff in their pockets, don't they?
I think it's because I'd had, like a raise-your-own butterfly kit or I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So I captured it and then put some substrate in it, and I think there was, like, a twig. I kept it under my bed. My mum has, like, a paralyzing fear of arachnids.
Yeah.
I never told her.
Yeah, my mum was the same. She's terrified of spiders. I think she would have freaked out if I kept one when I was living at home.
Yeah.
So we will come to like a loop back to your spiders and stuff, but as a whole, what do you keep at the moment? Obviously, you've got spiders, snakes, all sorts of stuff. So give us a quick, if you can, the collection at home, so to speak.
Okay, so I've got a cat, it was Moon my whole life. I've got two crested geckos, two corn snakes, a ball python, bearded dragon, three hog noses, Mexican black king snake, leopard gecko. Then I've got tarantulas here, true spiders, so spiders that aren't tarantulas.
Yeah.
I've got some isopods up there, scorpion down there, and a Pac-Man frog.
Awesome.
And that's everyone.
When you say hognoses, are they Western hognoses, Eastern, tricolored, giant Madagascans?
They're all Westerns. They're different. So I've got a Superconda baby, then I've got an albino and a lemon ghost juveniles.
Nice. I love hognoses. My first ever snake was a hognose.
Oh, was it?
I didn't know what they were at the time. I had a leopard gecko that I'd been pestering my mum for like years.
Yeah.
And then once one leopard gecko turned up when I was 12, that was sort of like, okay, there's one in the house now. We'll just keep getting them.
Yeah.
I got it off the Friday ad, and it was like 30 quid for an adult male hognose with a viv, like full setup. It was like, yeah, here you go, have it. I didn't have a clue. I was just like, I want a snake.
Yeah.
Like, I think I kept it for over a year before I realised it was even rear fang venomous.
Yeah, they're so cute. Like, you'd never think they were actually venomous.
No, I used to regularly like have it out, and with its little shovel nose, it would like try and dig in your belly or wherever. Like, yeah. Yeah, they were cool. So quite a big collection then. So it's a varied collection as well.
Yeah.
So how quick, obviously you said you started sort of the beginning of pandemic. How quickly do you reckon you went from having your one tarantula to having what you have now?
2.5 years.
And was it quite a gradual thing, or did it go from like one to okay, I need a room for them now?
So I got 9 tarantulas probably in the first month of keeping them, and I had them downstairs, and like I cringe now, but they were on heat mats, and like it's just like a no-no with tarantulas.
Yeah.
And my husband said, because there were all these amazing species that I was learning about, and I was like, I want them all. And my husband said, well, you know, why don't you move them upstairs? And then this actually used to be a spare room with a bed in it and a wardrobe.
Hence the back.
And so he sort of said, you know, do whatever you want. If they don't, you know, if you can make sure that they don't leave this room, basically said, you know, do whatever you want. In terms of the tarantulas now, snakes was another conversation. There's a couple of tarantulas that I've like had to have conversations with them about. You know, there's ones, you know, there's luckily we're a household of healthy adults.
Yeah.
There's not, you know, any tarantulas that are going to like or shouldn't cause us, you know, any sort of life-threatening effects. But there are definitely ones that I have that are particularly
like a significant bite, I, to be fair, people don't probably know because I don't ever talk about it, but I used to have, I don't have any more, I haven't got any tarantulas anymore, but I at one point had a shed full of tarantulas. So I'm not a novice, but I wouldn't say I know a lot, but I think I had about 70, 75 at one point, and again, started the same way as you, so I was like, oh, they're quite cool. I think I got I'm going to get it wrong now because it was a Brachiopalma baggins at the time, but I know it's changed now.
Yes, close to castle now.
Yeah, so I had one, and then he suddenly went like from one to three, and then I was getting mystery boxes, and then I had a shed full of them. But unfortunately, none of them are here anymore. But
it is the way though. Like every tarantula keeper I know, every spider keeper I know, really kind of does that. So.
I think the thing that it makes it so easy to go from one to having loads is, one, they're not expensive at all. Their care is really straightforward.
Yeah.
And I think most of the time, most of them hide. So you sort of go, oh, I've got one box full of mud. Maybe I need some more in the hope that I can see one of them occasionally.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I tell people the day-to-day keeping of tarantulas is fairly boring. I find true spiders a lot more interesting daily.
Yeah.
Because they tend to be a bit more visible. But no, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I think the ones I had that I got the most, I guess, got the most pleasure out of, so to speak, would be like the jumping spiders.
Yeah.
I actually have been thinking about getting some more of those recently because they're just so cool and they have such character as well.
They do. And I got two babies recently as like a breeding pair for the future.
Yeah.
And making their enclosures is just so much fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And they're like feeding. I love feeding them. They're hilarious. Like some of the, like the tarantulas, you pop it in, it's like a split of flash and then nothing. But they like, you can see them hunting the prey items down. It's so
cool. Yeah, it's adorable. They proper ambush it, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. So obviously with such a large collection, and sort of exotic keeping tends to go hand in hand with exotic breeding. So have you bred anything before? Are you looking to breed in the future? What's the plans?
So I have bred tarantulas. It was more just of a thing to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
Because the ones I keep at the moment are not, I mean, I've got a few sort of like rarer ones, but they're not ones that particularly require breeding in the market. There's a lot of them about. So I have bred tarantulas. I bred jumping spiders. That was fun. That was relentless, actually.
They're so small when they like come out of the sack as well.
They are. And my female laid 4 sacks. So, yeah, that was a lot of time.
How many did you have in total, if you can remember?
So I had let's say about 50, 60, 30, probably like 200-ish.
And that is a lot of tiny little mouths to feed as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was during the heat wave as well, which was a bit of a bummer because I lost quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the temperatures right. But no, I've got that was really fun. And it was the easiest pairing I have ever done in my life.
Do the females have a tendency of eating the males? Just like I've paired a couple of tarantulas like maybe once or twice, but I don't really know anything about it. So, and for those people that are listening that have no idea, talk us through the process of, let's say, your experience with the jumping spiders specifically.
So with the jumping spiders, I made sure both the male and the female were well fed, particularly the female.
Yeah.
The reason they eat each other is because in the wild, it helps to ensure that the female lays a good sack. It's basically the male is nutrition to the female. So she doesn't eat the male out of aggression or fear or anything like that. Unless you have got a pairing where the female doesn't want to be paired, then it is aggression. And I have unfortunately had that twice, which was not great. Usually you can get, because when you're breeding you want to have like tongs at the register.
Yeah, you pop them between them.
Yeah, but on the tarantula pairing where I lost one of the males, she was just so far, I got between them and she went up and around and she got them and there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
But yeah, once they get together, it's fairly intense looking. With jumping spiders, it's kind of scary because the male will get on top of the female, kind of reach under.
Yeah.
And it kind of almost looks like he's going to bite her. So they kind of end up having this like weird hug, whereas tarantulas tend to like come together.
Yeah.
For front facing. But yeah, once they actually, it's kind of like with snakes, once they lock, so to speak,
yeah,
you just leave them to it and then you just got to be at the ready. With tarantulas particularly, when the male is done, he will run,
yeah,
And that is a good, he will not just back off, he'll run away. I mean, it's a good way to know when they're done.
Yeah.
The male will just bail.
He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. And at that point, you've got to be, you can see them parting and you've got to be careful. That's when you've got to be rat the ready.
Because they are so fast as well, aren't they? Like some of them, like especially the old world stuff, like the pokies, they like you blink and they disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recently I'm looking after one of my friends, mature males. She's actually on the live. It's Leah, and it's from the Samapeus genus, which is basically as fast as you can get in the new world. Without,
is that like, I'm trying to remember, like the P. Arminia, like sun tigers, yeah. Like that. Yeah, I remember.
Yes, yeah. So it's the Arminia that I've got.
Okay,
and I unboxed him. This is my favorite genus in the whole world. So I've got, I would say, like a really, really good amount of experience with this genus, and it was gone. And it ended up in like the top left corner. And it was so annoying because if I just show you, I've got Vivs up there, you know, I've got Vivs here, enclosures all across there, and it was right in the corner. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
But well, I got him down. I can't remember how, but I did.
Well, as long as you got him down, it doesn't matter how that happened. So obviously, the one of the deals with you having the spiders in the room was that they stay in the room. Is the room escape proof? Touch wood. Have you done you've got extra measures to stop them getting out?
Yeah. So in theory, it is. Let me see if you can see it. Can you kind of see? There's like a black line along the bottom of the door.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a double-sided draft excluder.
Okay.
So I've not had many escapes.
Yeah.
But no one's got past it yet. So technically, is escape proof.
So far, it is an escape proof room. That's what we like.
Yeah. The only escape that really got me like concerned was a sub-adult. Peace Letheria Ornata. That caused me some concern, but nope, didn't get out. She was in here, found her, all good.
Fantastic. That is what we like to hear. Do you have any plans to breed, say, this year or coming up or in the next couple of years?
I would really love to breed. I am going to breed the jumping spiders,
yep.
Because they're the Everglades morph, so they're slightly different to the Florida coloration.
Okay.
I think once my Mexican black king snake matures, my friends have a female and we'd quite like to do a breeding project there. But I need to know a bit more about that first, because apparently they're quite susceptible to eating the male and I have the male. So
yeah, you don't want to lose them.
No, not my boy. I'd love to do a hoggy project. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Are
the hognoses you've got, do you know the sexes of them? So is it something
females, yeah.
Okay, so you would be having to look for a fourth one at some point if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, well, I've got some friends. Their account is called Fellowship of the Noodles.
And I follow them. Do they make stickers as well? I imagine that.
Yes, yeah. So Star is an artist and they do like a lot of stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have so many snakes, like I lost count. Of how many snakes they have, but they have so many hoggies, so I'm sure I could find a male there. So
yeah, wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
And I think it's nice to do breeding projects with your friends.
Definitely, as long as you're 100% sure, and like you've all got all the terms on the table when you start.
Yeah,
I've done a few like breeding loans with friends in the past. Well, they have been friends, like I've borrowed a male or my male's gone off to see them and it's not gone as well as we were originally planned. But if you're comfortable and you know the people, I don't see the problem with it.
Definitely, yeah, that's a bummer.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? Some people are not as nice as other people.
Yeah, true. I'd love to breed. I wish I was brave enough to breed huntsmen and wandering spiders, but I'm just not.
What is stopping you? Why are you not brave enough? Just for the people that potentially don't know what they are.
it's nothing to do with the actual spiders themselves, in terms of like, because when you hear the word huntsman, you hear the word wandering spider, you think like deadly, blah blah blah.
See, I don't like huntsmen's don't. I've seen a lot of like pictures and things, like videos from Australia where people have huntsmen in the house, like, and they're there because they eat the other stuff, and they're quite I don't know what the word, like, they're quite friendly spiders in a way, like.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I think they're fantastic. Like, they're not half the animals that people make them out to be. You know,
no, whereas realize, like, the wandering spider, all I know about that is. I presume there's different species of wandering spider, but I'm thinking of, I think it's the Brazilian wandering spider. I believe it's on the DWA, that one as well, is it not?
It is, yeah. You can't own it in the UK without a license.
Yeah, and something about if it bites you, you have an erection for 4 hours and you die or something like that. I'm sure I've heard that.
Yeah, I have heard about that. I don't know. I'm not willing to test it,
to be honest.
Yeah, I actually watched a video recently. I watched a bite report of a Brazilian wandering spider, and the guy who was bitten said he would have rather have died than gone through the pain of it, which I was like, that's insane.
That's mad. No. So what species of wandering spider do you have?
So I have the Pelectonis hematostoma, which is the red fang wandering spider. And then I have Cupianus salei, which is the tiger bromeliad wandering spider, but it's not actually a wandering spider. It's from the family of fishing spiders.
Right, okay.
But the red fang is from the family of wandering spiders. But what it is for me is they're so fast. So. Yeah. They make tarantulas look like true spiders make tarantulas look like snails. Honestly, it's every time I rehouse my tiger wandering spider, she bolts every single time without fail. And it doesn't matter how many catch cups I set up, how many, she is just gone like the wind, and it puts the fear of God into me. I just think. It's just the speed, like, and the chances of an escape and things like that. I just don't love that idea. So, yeah, that's it for me. I don't know.
No, that's fair enough. I can understand. And I presume you've got them as slings as well. So if you're raising them up from a sling to like ready to breed, the last thing you want is an escapee or, like you said previously, the boy to end up as lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
It must be quite heartbreaking.
It is. And I have like friends who are established breeders of true spiders. Like I've got, you know, in the UK, Jeremy Villapando, and then like Hannes of Dishpinner. They have so much knowledge about it. And I feel like I just don't have enough. So until I do, I just think it's not for me right now. No, but tarantulas, I breed all day. Like, I feel like I'm confident in that.
Yeah. That's really good.
But yeah, and I got my little tiger wandering spider as a tiny sling, and now she's a juvenile, and I just
they are tiny when they are slings as well, aren't they? Like
they are, yeah. Jeremy just sent me so I don't know the common name, it's a Hogna Madariana. It's a wolf spider. Madeiran wolf spider. They're really pretty. Anyway, it's a sling and it is so small. I love it so much. So cute.
That's brilliant. So whilst we're on breeding, do you have any like horror stories or success stories either way, but like to the extremes, like somebody ending up as lunch or something that you weren't sure was going to work and it did work and it was successful?
Horror story, I think, was my first tarantula breeding that went wrong. So it was between a Pamphibetius mashala female and male. And the females in this genus are huge. They're massive and they're chunky as well. And in a big enclosure, so enough space like that. The male goes in, he's tapping away, she's tapping back. It's all looking good. We're having fun. And then she kind of ran forward, then ran back. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't love that. But also, she didn't go for him.
Yeah.
Then they got together and they started pairing. And I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then
did you say this was your first time pairing as well? Or not?
No, this was my first one that went wrong.
Okay, yeah, go on, carry on.
So I was filming it, and I've never put the footage out because it's just hate it so much. But I caught her and him. So she had got above him, so she was like this, but my tongs were in the middle, stopping her. And I managed to push her away, at which point on the video, which I will never share, you can hear me going, run, run, like this. And he's just sat there like, oh, she's so pretty, I love her so much. By which time, this massive tarantula has gotten over the tongs around. I managed to get her again, at which point I'm trying to shove this male. I'm like, oh, like sorry. I'm like trying to get rid of him. And he just didn't move. He didn't move. And she got around the tongs again. She just nailed him straight away. And I was like, oh
got him.
And when I saw, because she'd got him good.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could have done then. And I think probably the biggest sort of kick in the teeth, I suppose, when the female gets the male but to an extent where there's really nothing you can do, whether you agree or not. In my opinion I feel you should let the female eat the male, because at least
It makes, if it was going to happen in the wild and unfortunately she has got him, then there's no reason to try and separate. That just seems like undue stress for her if he's definitely gone.
It's a meal, and you know, and he's gonna die anyway. And it's just, it's not nice. It's not nice, is it? But, you know, the tarantula happy dance when they do circles when they're eating.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, they're almost standing on their tiptoes, aren't they? And like almost like they're like prancing in a circle. It's the strange thing. If you don't know, go on YouTube and type in tarantula happy dance, because if you haven't seen it, it is bizarre.
It is. But she was doing it with the male in her mouth.
Oh dear.
So I was like, this is so insulting. How dare
she
you?
She is
like,
just rubbing it in your face, isn't she?
She was like, look at this. And she's so big as well. She like massive thing. And had this bright pink male in her mouth. I was like,
oh dear. And had you had him from a sling, or had you got him as a mature male?
No, he was on loan from a friend.
Oh, well, I suppose they sort of, with male tarantulas, the risk is it's known before you even get started, and that like they may end up at lunch.
Yeah, and I tend not to do breeding of tarantulas with friends so much because I feel like even if you know the risks, it's still not nice, is it? And
no, the last thing you want to do is have to ring a friend and say, oh, you know, the boy we were, I was on loan here, he's a snack now.
He is an ex, tarantula, yeah.
Yes.
But like, even if I know the person's an experienced tarantula keeper, I'll say, do you understand? Like, I will try my best to keep him safe. And, you know, usually people just say, yeah, no, I get it. And then I have had like one or two occasions where people are like, oh, I'm not sure. And I'm like, look, if you're not sure, don't send him, because you have to be confident. You have to know before. Yeah. So,
So he passed, unfortunately, but did you get a sack from her, or was it an unsuccessful pairing?
I did. And then she ate it.
She sounds like a very hungry spider.
She is the worst, like the worst. The only other one worse than her was a Nandu Coralatu Velocino or something like that, which I don't have anymore. And before coming to me, she'd eaten two males. And I was like, I can change her. I can do this. And then she didn't eat any of the males I put in, but I did try. It was too different. And I just think she just didn't want to be a mum. So that's fine.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. So it sounds like quite, I'd say, a successful, like, I don't know what the word is. I'm going to call it a career for the sake of wanting, I don't know what the other word to use. But so far, like, your experience and the breeding and whatnot. So do you have plans for the next, I don't know, say 5 years, are you wanting to continue breeding as you are and keep the collection the same sort of size? Are you wanting to expand? Are you wanting to keep it as a hobby? Do you want to go more into like producing more to sell on? You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the word out.
I know what you mean. Well, actually, I don't really put it much on Instagram, but I do a lot of like education with kids. Okay. So I do two things. I do education with kids. So I do like feeding and handling experiences of varying types, levels. Like you can come in and like see everyone, or you can just do snakes, just do the lizards, you know, or the tarantulas, whatever you fancy. Yeah. But then something that I've been doing more recently and developing is working with people with phobias.
Okay.
So I've worked with a woman who was so scared of tarantulas that she had to stand at the end of my driveway.
Yeah.
She couldn't come into my house. And now, having worked with her for a while, she can stand outside the door. So this is someone who has like a fear of spiders that impacts their life significantly. Yeah. You know, to a point where, like she said once, like she saw a spider in the corner of her office, she had to leave work. Wasn't enough that like the tarantula was removed. Like, so the fact that she wasn't even able to come down my driveway and can now stand in the doorway is incredible. Yeah. So that's like quite an extreme one. But then, yeah, there's people who are like, it's literally just, you know, like ball pythons. So,
yeah.
99% of the time they're like puppy dogs.
Yeah.
But people think they're like really aggressive. Terrifying. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking at mine right now, Lottie. He's just got his head out of his hide, like, what are you doing?
Are you talking about me?
I am talking about you.
No, it's incredible as well. To be able to help somebody conquer their fear, I think is really, really rewarding. A friend of mine that I met through doing Tough Mudder, I'm sure she won't mind me saying it, she was a victim of a really abusive relationship for a very long time, and since that has now passed, but the relationship's ended, and she's moving on with her life, and she's decided that she's going to conquer every single one of her fears, and like she is just like grabbing life by the balls and getting on with it. Like, she's been bungee jumping, she's done all sorts, but she has a paralyzing fear of snakes,
right?
And she knows that I obviously keep quite a lot of snakes. So last year, once I had some hatchlings that were like able to be handled, feeling I was comfortable with them, she actually came around, which is long, just like she lives like in the Midlands and I'm right down on the South Coast. And she came down and we spent a good hour or so. She started by just standing on the other side of the room and looking like peering from miles away. And by the end of the hour and a half she was here, we managed to get her holding a couple of holding some of the bigger snakes. She didn't want to hold the little ones. I'm not sure how that works, but she was more comfortable holding the heavier body snakes than she was with the hatchlings. And when I say holding, she was stood there absolutely frozen, but they were on her hands. So we take that as a win. And there's a massive step. But she was over the moon. So
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it really was. And I was so happy to see her happy with her progress, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. So to be doing that as you are, I'm sure that's awesome for you.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Like, yeah, fair play to your friend. That's awesome.
She's an incredible woman, to be fair.
I did have one book in though that was quite funny. Is I had a couple book in for a feeding and handling session, and each month a boyfriend or the girlfriend, they book the worst date that they can think of, and they think it's really funny.
That sounds quite entertaining, to be honest.
Yeah, so they've done quite a few things, but I was the subject of that month's worst date ever.
Did they have a good worst date ever, though?
They did. They really enjoyed it, yeah.
That's awesome. That's really good. Obviously you've got quite a lot of people coming in that maybe don't have any experience or have very little or experience with animals. Tarantulas, we'll stick with tarantulas in general. So if someone is listening to the podcast now that may be thinking, I'd quite like to get into that, or I've been wanting one for a while, where would you recommend they start?
So there are so many starter species that you can get. Sorry, there's a fly. So many starter species. I got a curly hair just because I thought they were cute, and it was just the one that everyone said you had to get as a starter. I don't regret that decision. She was lovely. But do your research, watch YouTube, watch experienced keepers who keep well, and make your own decision on what you want to do first. Like, you know, Gramostola is a great species, is a great genus to start with. Pretty much anything in that genus is a fantastic starter species. I would always say, though, start with something terrestrial. So something that isn't generally going to go up your wall and, you know. So, yeah, start terrestrial. Start with something heavy-bodied, like an Afonopelma or a Gramostola. And their care is super simple. It's dirt, hide, water bowl, maybe some foliage, like super easy. You can't really get it wrong. And yeah, just get into the community, because I'll be honest, like I got my base knowledge off of YouTube, and then as I got into the community, like I made friends and saw other accounts and things like that. And I found having people to learn from who were, you know, had practical knowledge of the hobby was really useful, and having people that you can like actually ask questions to.
Definitely. There is actually a surprisingly large community of tarantula keepers as well, or spider keepers, or arachnid keepers in general. It's something that I didn't realize until you got one or two, and you join a few Facebook groups, and then you're on Instagram, and all of a sudden this whole world opens up to you. One thing you said there was, for people that wanted to get their first one, they should do their research and look at people that keep their animals well. So obviously if they're in an enclosure and it's full of poo or old food, that's bad. But what would you say, or how would you say to someone how would you point out that that's somebody that is keeping animals well, as opposed to someone that's got a camera and they're making YouTube videos and they think they're doing all right, but really it's not that good? What would be the red flags, I suppose?
Red flags, if you're looking for red flags straight away, it's the type of content they're making. So, for example, I won't name anyone.
I don't mind. If you want to name people, you go for it.
There is a keeper called Exotic Slayer, and I can promise you with my hand on my heart, I've never watched a full video of his because his reputation is so awful. You know, he filmed a video of him euthanizing a tarantula. Do you need to film the tarantula actually being euthanized? No, I don't think so. To get the knowledge across. But he also did it in a very violent and stressful way for the animal.
Yeah.
So look at the type of content they're making. You know, it's not always going to be watch me feed 10 tarantulas, watch me rehouse X. But like, does the content seem either clickbaity or like sensational?
Yeah.
So... You know, the Dark Den did a video recently on whether tarantulas can swim. And the offshoot of that, unfortunately, has been now less experienced keepers are trying to emulate what he's done and are drowning their tarantulas.
Right. I haven't watched that one, but I do follow the Dark Den. I like watching his videos.
Me too.
I haven't seen that one specifically.
You know, and tarantulas can swim. They can.
Yeah.
They, you know, often live in, you know, rainforests, things, you know, a lot of the arboreal ones tend to live in, you know, high humidity environments where there is a lot of water around.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've evolved to be able to swim to some extent, but then, you know, you've got people trying it with terrestrials who aren't evolved that way. And I've seen, you know, one or two, you know, not great stories. Yeah. So just watch out for the sensationalist stuff. Obviously, not everything you need to try, but you can search for specifics. You know, some keepers that I really do think are great on YouTube. Tarantula Cat is great if you want a really relatable keeper.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's been keeping tarantulas I don't really know, to be honest. She's been on YouTube maybe 5 years. So I'll say confidently 5 years. And even now, you know, her tarantulas make her jump sometimes. And I think I love that about her. I love that she doesn't give this persona across that, like, oh, nothing phases me. Like, I am tarantula keeper of the world. Like, yeah. You know, it's very relatable. Love her. And then there's Tarantula Collective. His cinematography is just insane, and he cares about, he knows so much about his animals.
Yeah,
he's got a website as well, so for every species that he keeps, he puts up a full, like, not just a care guide, but like information about them. It's amazing.
Okay,
then you've got the Dark Den. He is great. His older stuff is incredible. If you're a new beginner, his older stuff is just priceless, I think.
Yeah. So I've been watching Petco for a long time, actually. I was watching him when he was still keeping everything in his flat.
Yeah.
His place now is incredible. I'm watching the I can't remember, is it the Jungalarium thing he's building? Like, it's a massive enclosure.
Yes.
It's that's so cool.
That's been going on like a year now.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see that eventually finish, but it's probably bigger than like the single bedroom in my house. It's a huge enclosure.
Yeah, it'll be bigger. It's bigger than this room for sure.
Yeah.
yeah, that'll be amazing. You know, other keepers that I really love are Bears, Eight-Legged Freaks. You know, he's a UK keeper. Jaden is great for cinematography and again, a very relatable keeper. So yeah, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
Just like if you see a title and you think, it's difficult, you know.
I know what you mean, though. I think if they are like, oh my god, this boy turned in like was lunch or there.
Yeah.
Like, it's very over the top. Whereas if you look at like Tarantula Cat or the Dark Den, there might be a little bit of a clickbait title in the sense that like,
yeah,
oh, I've got five new spiders, one of them escapes. But when you actually see the difference in content, they obviously care a lot. And you can tell as well by the setups, like especially the Dark Den. You look at his stuff, he's got a massive room dedicated. Every single one's got lighting, like every single enclosure is incredible.
Mm. Yeah, he will. His room is now in the basement of his house, so that's really useful. No, I think you're right. Like, it would, you know, I remember Dark Den put up a video once of like, you know, he put in the title something like breeding gone wrong, and I think that's a fair enough title. It's you know, when you get people that are putting up like, watch this male get munched, and you're just like, it's not very respectful to the animal.
I completely agree. And you've got to have some compassion. I know it's unfortunate, but because people see arachnids and insects sort of not on the same level as like mammals, so to speak. And obviously all of us keepers tend to, like, well, hopefully all of us keepers see them as it's another living creature. It doesn't matter if it's a elephant or a house, like a spider in my house, like their lives are always important. But quite often you get like the videos, like you say, like watch them get munched. They don't sort of, there's no compassion for that spider that is now a dinner.
It is absolutely a shame. Like, I've got so many animals here that I've raised from like this big and now they're, you know, they're adults, and I just, you know, they will never know who I am.
Yeah.
They'll never like me or love me. And they won't even recognize me. But I just think like that doesn't stop me from respecting them and loving them as light, like their lives on this planet, just like my cat is, just like I am. And you know, and you'll understand it too with people with snakes, like they just think they're like slimy and aggressive and vicious, and they're just the best animals.
You do get snakes, lizards don't get as much hate for some reason, but spiders and snakes seem to get quite a lot of hate from people that just aren't educated at all in them. And I know you were talking about on a podcast recently where you had someone comment, I don't know if it was on a video or a Instagram, but they commented something like, oh, kill it with fire. And you get that a lot, but you were talking like, if it was a dog, no one would say that.
No.
It's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, a woman actually, a video of tofu in my hog nose went viral maybe like a year, a bit ago. And this woman commented on it like killer with fire, like, you know, that kind of like stamp on it or something like that. And I went to her Instagram, found a picture of her dog and commented exactly the same thing. And she DM'd me and she was like, that is absolutely disgusting, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and I sent her a print screen.
It's double standards, isn't it?
Yeah, but I sent her a print screen of what she put on Tofu's video. She blocked me.
like, oh, you couldn't even have a proper argument. That's so annoying.
I was like, okay, fine, amazing.
Oh, dear. Let's move away from people that are rubbish.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to cover, because using the limited knowledge I have, when I was keeping tarantulas a lot, there seemed to be quite a lot of shows for inverts and arachnids. Like reptiles, I think we've got two, maybe three across the entire year calendar. But there seems to be quite a lot of invert and arachnid shows across the UK calendar. So have you been to them? What do you think of them? Like, what's your experience with shows, if you've got any?
Yeah, no, I think they're great. I've been to, so there's the main one is BTS, which is the British Tarantula Society, and that is in May, June time.
Yeah.
I went last year. That was great. It was amazing. Like every vendor, it was actually really fun because you get the main vendors at every show. But I got, let me see if I can show you. No, don't run away. I got this little guy. I don't know. Can you see him? Just by kind of. No, you can't see him that well. I got this little this Ceratogyrus darlingi as a sling from a vendor that I'd never heard of before. And it was just really nice to see like other people there. Like I obviously have a lot of respect for the main companies in this country, but it was nice to like meet and link up with like hobbyist breeders and things like that. It was really nice.
Yeah, so like the people you're speaking to like on your groups or through Instagram and stuff that don't necessarily have a shop or like a shop front website, but it's not, there's a big social aspect to the shows as well, I find.
Yes, so I saw so many people there that I had not met before. Oh, I met this there was a little girl that watches my channel and she loves my channel and she just makes us amazing. And her parents were there and I was wearing my spare room hoodie and I heard behind me, I was like, go and say hi to her, go and say hi. And I was like, what is this? I like, turned around and there was just this little girl and she was like, so cute. So I see her parents quite often. I see her parents at reptile shows as well, which is nice. I saw them at Donny, actually, the last Donny. I think they're great. I just think they're great.
Yeah,
great aspects.
No, that's really I like shows. I've been to a couple of the invert ones. I went to, I can't remember what it's called, but there was one in Portsmouth. It was a couple of years ago, but I think they do it annually anyway. I took my daughter.
Yeah.
And I should have taken more cash. It's all like,
oh my God, yeah.
I'm glad I didn't. But at the same time, I wish I did, because like, I was looking at really cool stuff. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. I had a few things in mind I wanted. But then, how old was that? It was a while ago, actually. Today must have been, I don't know, like 14, 15. And they were sort of interested, but they weren't that fussed. And by the time we left, I think they had bought them a praying mantis, a couple of spiders, and I was like, right, you're involved as well now, welcome to the addiction.
Yeah, I love it. Like it is very much like I have to take out cash and leave my debit card in the car, because if I didn't, but everyone says exactly the same thing, like it's
you see things that you don't even realize you need until you see them, don't you?
Oh my God, absolutely. Like you go there and like first of all the supplies are so cheap. So like cork bark, substrate, all of that is so cheap. So you're like, oh my God, gotta get loads of that. And then, you know, I don't find the animals are much cheaper really anymore. But you know, it's different when you've got them, like, instead of a website, like, you've got them literally laid out in front of you.
When there's like 10 of the same one and you can pick the exact one you want as well.
And like Creatures of the North and Spider Shop particularly, they'll literally have like big Bra Plus tubs with all the slings in, and then the lid will have the species on, and you can literally just like, oh, one of them.
It's like a pick and mix, but for spiders.
And then before you know it, you've just bankrupted yourself. So no big deal. It's fine.
So yeah, if you're gonna go to a show, leave your bank cards in the car, or even better, at home, and just take some cash.
Yeah, genuinely, like, yeah, leave your debit cards in the car, take cash, and just, try not to go and get your debit card.
So something I mentioned briefly right at the beginning of the podcast is your podcast.
Yeah.
So I want you to tell us a little bit about the podcast. So it's called the One Shared Brain Cell Podcast.
It is, which is highly accurate. So it's me, my friends Leah and Rich, and they have their own Instagram. So Leah is Glorified Pet Rocks and Rich is the Tarantula Family. And whilst we have like a lot of love and respect for Tarantula Podcasts, generally they are very like, everyone's concerned about, and I get it, because you say one wrong or controversial thing in the animal hobby in any area with any animal, and you get, you know, people pile on. And sometimes that can make them a little bit boring. So we decided to make a podcast where we would make it more like we were just chatting with friends. And so, you know, we're all people that adore our animals, but we're not concerned with like presenting ourselves in this perfect, squeaky clean way where, you know, we're quite happy to say, you know, we've made this mistake, we learned, you know, and stuff like that. So we call it the alternative podcast for tarantula keepers, because we tend to not only, you know, present ourselves, I feel like, in a more relatable way, but also we talk about stupid things too.
I've listened to a few episodes this week, actually. I've gone back and listened to and I really like the format. I think it's brilliant. And the chemistry the three of you have together is really good. It's like being a fly on the wall above a table whilst you're having a chat in a pub.
Like,
it's really good. Great. It's funny as well, which is nice. Like, I started this podcast because I found quite a lot of I used to listen to a lot of just ball python specific podcasts, and although I enjoy them and I do go back and listen to them, I find that it's the same conversation over and over again, and I was like, I want something where I can still chat about snakes to people, but I want to be able to like have someone on and talk about tarantulas, or have someone on talk about monitors, and like just animals as a whole. I know it's called Reptile Chat, but they don't even need to be reptiles. But I don't have the sort of not comedy aspect, because obviously you're not making your podcast, it's not a comedy podcast. It's just funny because of the conversations you're having. Like, you're not there to make people laugh, but people are laughing along with you and your friends having a laugh.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly the vibe we're going for. Like, yeah, that just makes me like, that's exactly what we wanted. And
I really enjoy it. So if you haven't listened to the One Shared Brain Cell podcast, I will pop a link in the description below. If I remember, if I haven't done it, please like drop me a message and remind me. Where can people find your podcast?
So currently it's only on Spotify, and when I am less lazy, I need to put it all on YouTube, to be honest, because it's just audio, you know, it's just audio files really. So it's just on Spotify at the moment. I was going to ask you actually how you post to so many platforms. I was going to steal, but I'll ask you one later.
We'll chat about that after podcast. You can ping me, we'll chat about it on Instagram. It's really amazing. Really easy.
But if you you know, need a reminder or anything, we have a Instagram account, which I think is just One Shared Brain Cell Podcast. I'll just double check.
Yeah, no worries.
So bad, don't even know my own. Yeah, it's One Shared Brain Cell Podcast. Wasn't sure if that was on the end or not.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Even if you're not that interested in tarantulas specifically, go and have a listen anyway, because it is very entertaining and you might learn something.
We cover some reptile stuff, and like in the last episode we covered Florida, you know, the Holy Thursday massacre and like how you can help and things like that. So yeah, we cover like lots of different things.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I think I must have listened to like 6 or 7 episodes, because I listen to podcasts at work, so I've got like 8 hours a day of podcasts. Yeah. So I was really involved, like deep dived into it almost.
Oh, and, I love that. Thank you.
Really, really enjoyable. So I'm going to start wrapping us up now, because we've been going for an hour. There are a few little things to do before we say goodbye. So I know you have shouted out a lot of accounts already for various reasons, but is there anyone specifically you want to give a shout out to? Maybe someone. Oh, hang on. Are you still there? Bear with, we're just having some technical difficulties. Let me just play some interesting music for a second. Bear with.
Hello, I am so sorry. My laptop died. That's so unprofessional of me.
My mic was muted then anyway. I was talking to myself. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's quite nice to have a technical difficulty where I have to jump in and do something, because I haven't had one yet. So it's quite exciting.
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. So we were, any shout outs for specific accounts or people that have just maybe helped you or do you just want to give a shout out to, really?
Yeah, I would say like one of the people that has given me like so much support and knowledge is he on Instagram, he's Dare_Spinner, which is Hannah's. Just so knowledgeable, like just about everything. And then my friends, Fellowship of the Noodles, and then obviously always want to shout out Leah and Rich, which I have, I think, like 2 or 3 times now.
Oh, no, that's right. And just to finish off, what I like to do to end the chat with the guest is something I call Hall of Shame and Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Right. So all it is, basically, it's a bit like Room 101. So, but there's a good Room 101 and a bad Room 101. So we'll start with the Hall of Shame. It's something that you would put in the Hall of Shame. So no other... Let's keep it tarantula specific. So no other tarantula keeper has to ever deal with it. So basically, you've put it in the Hall of Shame, it's just gone forever. And then the Hall of Fame is the same sort of thing, but it's something that they should all use in the future. So some things in the Hall of Shame that I've had already are red bulbs, lignocell, and heat rocks. So what would you pop in your Hall of Shame?
Putting animals on your face.
Okay.
Oh my God.
There's never a need. Never a need for that.
Literally never.
So I like that. That's a brilliant one to add to the Hall of Shame. And then the Hall of Fame, what is something that you think every tarantula keeper should use, experience, take the advice on board? Just something that you would pop in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Garden center things.
The garden center spray bottles.
Yes, because I find that anything reptile branded is just going to break.
Yeah.
And that goes
normally twice the price.
Yeah, exactly. Get your feeding tongs from like kitchenware stores, get your spray bottles from garden centers, and I promise you they will last way longer.
Fantastic. I like that. That's brilliant. So all that is left for you to do now, excuse the turn of phrase, but all you need to do is plug yourself. So where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm the_spare_room_. And then in my bio is like my links to everything else, so you can find everything in my Instagram. So I have a YouTube channel, and you can find everything else there.
Brilliant. So that is us done. So thank you very much. I'm going to remove you from the chat now, and I'm just going to finish off. But thank you very much for joining us today, Fiona. I really enjoyed the chat. And ping me a message on Instagram and we'll sort out getting your podcast everywhere else.
All right. That's thank really you so much for having me.
No worries. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Cheers.
Bye.
Cool. So that was Fiona. I really, really enjoyed that chat. I learned a few things, and hopefully everybody else did as well. There's a few things left to do before we finish the podcast today. So, first thing, if anyone is still listening, someone has won the Exotic Keeper Members Club Magazine competition this week, and that winner is Kingston Reptiles. So, all they had to do was submit an animal fact. Their animal fact for this week was Gaboon Vipers' fangs are the longest fangs of any snake. So, there we go. That's all they had to do. And now, you guys, Kingston Reptiles, you have won 12 months digital access to every single Exotic Keeper magazine ever produced. So, if you want to be in with a chance to win in the next episode, all you need to do is go to the comments of this video, or if you're listening on an audio platform such as Spotify, Apple, all that stuff, go on my Instagram and or find the YouTube video and just drop a animal fact. Like I said, it doesn't need to be the most incredible animal fact ever. It just needs to be a fact about animals or an animal at all. Really straightforward. That's pretty much me. If you want to keep up to date with what's going on with the podcast, go and check us out on Instagram. That's at RepliChat. And if you want to follow my personal reptile account, see what's going on in the world of Ben's balls, so all my snake breeding, and I've actually got some crested gecko eggs going on as well, so they'll be updated. That is just at Ben's balls. Ben has two N's. If you want to support the podcast a little bit more, go and give us a like, go and give us a follow, drop a comment, subscribe. If you're listening on audio platforms, please go and give me a rating on Spotify, Apple, Deezer, every audio platform ever. If you want to support the podcast a little bit more, there is a link in the description of the video and the audio podcast, I think, to a website called Buy Me a Coffee, where you can donate the cost of coffee towards podcasts, which just helps with the upkeep of it. So yeah, that is the end of episode 6. I really enjoyed that. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time, where we have, I'm looking forward to this one, we have some feathered friends coming to join us, but I will leave you with that thought for now. So yeah, thank you very much, and until next time, that's me. Bye bye.